Today on Real Radio.
We're to have a humble heart. It is my prayer, it's my desire that God would do a work in your life and in my life so radical, so grand, that we would be almost shy about it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. Pastor Jack is delivering another series within a series taken from chapter 7 of 1 Samuel. It's called Getting the Victory in Your Life. Isn't that a great title? And so far, we've seen the biblical passages like this one and others that give us insight into how to gain that victory. It's really in ways that we wouldn't expect. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, continuing his mini-series called Getting the Victory in Your Life.
Verses 1 through 12, and by way of introduction to what we were talking about, we realize this, that tragically, victorious Christian living escapes many Christians today. Many Christians are living in a sequestered Christian life. They're often held bound by the fear of maybe stepping out. A lot of Christians, listen, a lot of us are tempted to bring the baggage of our world that we've once lived in, the things that we've gone through. Listen to this. Many of us take how we related maybe to our parents, maybe even our fathers, and project that kind of relationship onto our Heavenly Father now. And we somehow equate our new Father, the Lord, in the light of our old father that is from the flesh or in this world. Now you might say, well, Jack, what are you talking about? I had an awesome relationship with my dad. Hey, I did too, but that's not my point. My point is it's wrong for us to take what we had in this world and project it onto God and make him that way. What we should do or could do is take the good from our earthly family and benefit from that, but at the same time look to all of God's blessings and all of God's nature and receive that as well. That maybe in our lives, and oh man, moms and dads, don't you want to bring your kids up in a way that as they grow, they can say, you know what, I see this attribute of God, I see this working out and lived out in my parents' life too. That's our goal, isn't it? That's what we want to do. That when our kids hear us talking about God, that what they hear from our lips is in direct connection with how God really is. That breeds a successful Christian life. But listen, do you know, and you might raise your hand and say, man, it's me. But do you know anybody who's come from a horrible life and they came into the knowledge of God and now their life is so awesome, they're so pumped for God that they don't even look back at the past? I'm telling you, there's people here in this church who, when they've shared their life with me, I can't believe it. You wouldn't believe it. That this person, this man, or this gal, or whoever, whatever, when they tell me I came from this kind of a life, I mean, I was talking to a woman before who was basically sold by her father into sex rings and sexual things. He would take his daughter and sell her to his friends and record this stuff and pictures and all this stuff and all of this. I'm crying, hearing, I can't believe it. And the amazing thing is you never would have said, well, you know what, that person, I don't know them, they kind of look like they were sold into a sex ring when they were young. You would never suspect. Why? Because God's done such a great work in their life that you just got to go, man, and you have to agree with the Apostle Paul. Hey, from this time on, we don't know anybody after the flesh. We know people only after Christ. Isn't that awesome? That you and I know one another only in Christ from now on. Isn't that great? So people, I want to talk about my past. Wait. God has forgotten it. He's forgiven you of it. Just exactly for what reason are we going to talk about the past? You know? Because God has given you great victory. Awesome victory. Tremendous. We saw in verses 1 and 2 that getting the victory means our lives are being prepared by God. God is doing a very special work in our lives. He desires to do a great thing with you, a wonderful thing. And we saw how God was doing that in the lives of Israel. Now the ark was coming back and his people were being prepared, and God was going to be doing a great thing. We saw in verse 1 that his desire is that we would understand his ways. That we would understand his ways. And so we saw there where the scripture says that they took the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of this man here, and he lived there on that hill, and they consecrated one of the men there of the house to keep the ark of the Lord. And the Bible tells us here that they kept the ark for some 20 years. But God was working to bring that ark back into the realm of the nation and of worship. But what God was doing was preparing them that Israel might understand the way of the Lord. Very, very important. We saw, too, that there are some things that keep us from understanding God. And one of those things was pride. And we remembered that 1 Peter tells us there that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Which led us to verse 2, and that is God wants to have our hearts prepared in a way that we have a humble heart. Now, you guys understand something, that having a humble heart is not having a wimpy heart. Do you know that? Jesus was humble. There was nothing wimpy about him. We're to have a humble heart. It is my prayer, it's my desire that God would do a work in your life and in my life so radical, so grand, that we would be almost shy about it. We'd almost have to kick our heel, you know, and then say, oh, shucks, you know, you're embarrassing me. That when somebody says, man, the Lord is doing such a thing, that we would have to just stop and say, really? That's what I want God to do in your life, in my life. Here's the thing. He wants to do it. But will we live a victorious life in Christ and allow him to do it? Will we go to the edge and say, Lord, do whatever you want with me? Can you pray that prayer? You won't be disappointed if you do. You might say, well, I'm kind of scared to pray that prayer. Oh, my friend, understand the nature of God. He loves you. He's got an awesome plan for your life. Get this. You're designed in such a way that you won't be fully happy and content until you're doing that thing. And I know how our flesh is and how the world is and how the enemy is that lies to us and says, man, if you're sold out for God, you're really going to be in deep trouble. A lot of people are held back from a victorious Christian life when they hear those things, but God wants our hearts to be humble. But we read here in the scripture where Israel lamented. Look with me in verse 2. It says down at the end, it says, and all of the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. They wept and cried out unto him. God was doing a great work. Verse 2 tells us to help us to see. Really, our lives are being prepared that God would help us to see. When it says that all of the house of Israel thought about what God was going to be doing in their lives, they all wept unto the Lord. But look, we come to our second point that we touched on last time, verse 3, and that is living the walk of life. The scripture says here in verse 3 that Samuel spoke to the entire, or all of the house, the entire nation, saying, if you return to the Lord with all of your heart, not a half a heart, all of your heart, then put away the foreign gods from you. Remember they were worshiping the Ashtaroths and the Baals or the Baals, these pagan, weird gods. Samuel says, put away these foreign gods and seek God with all of your heart. Living the walk of life, following God, not the walk of death, because those pagan gods, it was amazing that these nations, foreign nations, worship these pagan gods, because often this worship led to death, premature death even, and the death of young children, sacrifices. I love what the scripture says, that God is the God of the living, our God. He wants you to be living. Think about it. What good is a dead sacrifice? God doesn't want you dead. He wants a living sacrifice. Why? Because that's how the world has changed, through living people. That's what he wants to do. In verse 3, we touched on this, that we need to be careful that we stop going where we're going. We learned something from Israel. They were going the wrong way. And so God had to judge them. And so we make note. He says, if you return with all of your heart, and that word means to do 180, the path that you're heading on. Now listen, if God is speaking to you in the quietness of your heart, he's been saying, you're going down the wrong path. I'm not approving of where you're going. This last week, I had a lady upset with me. And I said, well, why are you upset? She said, because you said this in a message. And I didn't understand what she was talking about. And I said, well, yeah, I remember saying that. I'll say it again. What's the deal? I don't understand. Well, that's what's going on in my life. And I said, okay. Well, and the issue was she didn't want to change the course that she was on. And she got upset with me because I said it. Well, I don't know her. Never met her before in my life. But the Holy Spirit knows her. And he knew what was going on in her private life. Unbeknownst to me, while I'm up here teaching, he just drops this thing in. And by the way, it didn't happen, or I didn't say that thing in any of the other Sunday morning services. It was that service. She happened to be attending that service. This thing comes out and kaboom, and it affected her in that moment. She was upset because you know what's going on? The Holy Spirit was going, gotcha. I'm right on ya. I wouldn't have known anything. But she comes up to me really confessing, though she was upset. But ma'am, no one told me. I don't even know you. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. That such a thing would be said, you would be doing that specific thing, and that you would have the chutzpah to come and say after a service, why did you say this? I think the Lord is trying to talk to you. And you see, with that, it's like, oh my. Hey, if we're going in a direction we ought not to be going, we should turn. Why? Because he loves us. He wants us to live a victorious Christian life. Well, the scripture tells us in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, and we touched on it last time. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. He's so good. Start doing what we should be doing. And we learned also in verse 3 that we're to go forward after God. And this is where I think we left off, that we need to be going forward with the Lord and after him. We need to pursue him. Verse 3 says, and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. Or you can put right under your margin, he will deliver you from the hand of the flesh. The flesh that you and I struggle with. Hey, later on, before you go to bed tonight, jot it down for homework. Read Romans chapter 7. Talk about the flesh that's active in your life, in my life. Read Romans 7, but don't go to sleep reading Romans 7. You'll wake up depressed. Make sure you read Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Don't stop in chapter 7. Stop in chapter 8, verse 1. Because Paul talks about the struggle that the Christian goes through. But then, in his heart, in his mind, in his walk with God, he's brought to a place of victory because the announcement is made, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And you're liberated, set free. So you prepare your heart to serve him. Why? Because you can now. You get to. Isn't that funny? Sunday, listen, Sunday, I'm going to prophesy right now. On Sunday, not all of you are going to feel like coming. It's just the way it is. You know what's really hard on Sundays when I don't feel like coming? You've heard this story before. I'm going to tell you anyway if you already heard it. Johnny's laying in bed, and he says, Ma, I don't want to go to church today. Well, you got to go. Johnny pulls the covers up over his head. I don't want to go to church today, Ma. You've got to go. Why today? You've got to go. Now, come on. We've always gone. We're going to go. He pulls the covers up higher over his head. I don't want to go to church today. She said, listen to me. There's going to be a lot of people coming. We need to go. And besides, you're the pastor. But listen, the truth is, you may wake up on Sunday, you don't want to go. You don't want to come. You ever had the flesh do that to you? That's the struggle between the flesh and the spirit. The spirit says, come on, let's go worship. I want to worship. And the flesh says, man, I don't want to get out of this bed. And the spirit says, come on, let's go meet some friends. Let's go. And the flesh says, I'm hungry. And the spirit says, you know what? I want to learn about what God wants to say to my life now, this week, right now. I need to go. Look, come on, let's go. And the flesh is screaming and moaning, looking for reasons. And I tell you, it is good that we come and we worship the Lord. Well, I don't feel like it. You know what? I know. But prepare your heart and serve him only. When you come this coming Sunday, you're going to be coming, did you know, to serve him. So really, I'm not signed up in any ministry. No, you're coming to serve him. When you come and you lift your hands or you sing the songs, when you study the word, did you know studying is a form of worship also? Listen, frankly, let's be honest about it. If you put a dollar in the offering, that's worship. Did you know that? Read your Bible. It's worship. It's worship in giving. There's worship in singing. There's worship in study. You know what? Your life is just nothing but a big worship thing. We're Christians now. Prepare your heart. Serve the Lord. Point number three tonight, getting the victory in life is living a dedicated life, to live a dedicated life. So the children of Israel, verse 4, put away the Baals and the Ashtoreths, and they served the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all of Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord there for you. So they gathered together at Mizpah, and listen, they, number one, drew water. Number two, they poured it out before the Lord. Number three, and they fasted that day. Number four, they said, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Doesn't this sound scary, first of all, if you read it backwards? At Mizpah, Samuel judged them. They confessed their sins, having spoken of what they've erred in before God. He said, oh, you know, it must have been terrible. The exact opposite. Confession's a release. Confession's freedom. When the scripture says Samuel judged them, it doesn't mean he stood up there, you know, on a rock with a big mallet. All right, who's next? Confess. I stole that guy's rock. Shame on you, you know. And oh, that's not what happened. It's not like some line, you know, to get swatted. He discerned amongst them, helping them back into the presence of God. That's what his job was. Hey, that's my job. I love it. See, the cool thing is, Samuel is anointed to be the judge in Israel. See, your mind and my mind sees him putting on a long black robe because he's going to execute judgment. No. He discerned their hearts. God gave him insights into them. And as they came, they confessed their sins to the Lord. Now, Samuel had no ability, no power whatsoever, according to Scripture, both Old and New Testament alike, to forgive sins. We as believers have been given the privilege in the New Testament to acknowledge the forgiveness of sins, or listen, and we've been given this high privilege, frightening at times, to even look at someone's life and talk to them, and they might say something to us like, I don't want Jesus, I don't want him in my life, I don't want anything to do with God. And according to Scripture, we can turn to them and say, your sin remains upon you. What are we doing? Are we passing judgment? No. If somebody comes repenting, we can say to them, your sins are forgiven. What are we doing? Are we exercising the power to forgive their sins? No. We're recognizing in Scripture what the Bible says, that when a person confesses to the Lord, he forgives them. And in saying so, as the New Testament tells us to, that when they confess, we say to them, your sins are forgiven. We're agreeing with the transaction between them and God. But if somebody says, I don't want anything to do with God, then we can honestly say to them, you know what, my friend, I'm going to pray for you, but your sins are still upon you. You know, I just want you to know that as you go, your sins are still upon you. Your sin remains. Isn't that heavy? I think that's heavy. Samuel discerned amongst the people, pointed them to God. Verse 6, we see here that living a dedicated life means that we give what costs something to God. We give what costs him. It says, so they gathered together at Mizpah, and they drew water, and they poured it out before the Lord. This is a precious thing. Think about being in Death Valley and having a bucket of sparklets water. I mean, the first thing you want to do is protect that water from getting evaporated, right? Well, think about how precious and priceless that water is. It's life. When they come to Mizpah, they pour water out before the Lord. They draw it, first of all, and then they pour it out before the Lord as an offering to God. Listen, in all of our lives, what we do, it should cost us something to worship the Lord, or else it's not an offering. We'll say, Jack, I don't know what that means in my life. That's for you to find out. Quite a while ago, I had someone ask me, and I didn't know even how to respond at first. Later, I was able to talk by phone. But one of the questions that came up was, I only give $5 to the church. And do you think I'm okay with God? Well, this is a brand new believer. It was so fun to call them up and say, listen, your $5, because your heart is so right with God, your $5, in my opinion, God is probably making $5,000 out of it. Or $50 million out of it. Because your heart is so right, you want to give more, but you only give $5. But to you, it's only $5. And it's all you can give. But God sees that as $1,000,000. Remember the widow and her little mite, the little widow's mite, the little tiny, it's like a quarter of the size of a penny.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Getting the Victory in Your Life. In fact, this is a mini-series taken from 1 Samuel chapter 7. And of course, we're looking at other passages as well, both in the Old and New Testaments, that speak of how the God of Israel works in the life of the true believer for his will and purposes, as well as for our spiritual growth. And that, my friend, is really true victory. We'll continue with more of this fascinating verse-by-verse journey through this Old Testament book of 1 Samuel on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now get your pen and paper ready. We've got some contact info we'll have for you in just a minute. But first,
the world has got fears today, and you, Christian, are the only one that has the right answer for them.
In 1 Peter chapter 4, we're told to be prayerful, vigilant, and knowledgeable in God's Word, because we are in the last days.
Can you hold up your compass, your Bible? This is your compass for today.
With compass in hand, it's part of Pastor Jack's lessons called the Get Ready series, a collection of studies related to Bible prophecy.
Therefore, three things he lists: be serious, watchful, in your prayers. So be praying.
For your gift of any amount to the broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you the DVD called With Compass in Hand.
Your God knows the future in advance. He doesn't keep it to himself. He's revealed it in the Word of God, which came through the prophets.
Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and then click on the button on the right that says Special Offer, realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.